It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good morning, man. I'm scrolling right here. I got so much good stuff I want to talk to us about today. And I made a mistake yesterday. Sometimes I make a mistake because I come in and I talk right about the schedule right away, and then I get off on a rant and going, I don't want to do that. I want to share some good gospel with you today. So that's where I really want to. Wow, this is so good. The second epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Corinthians, is just loaded with so much good stuff. Is that what we read yesterday? Did we read 2 Corinthians 2 yesterday? I can't remember where it was. But Jared, I want you to jump into 2 Corinthians. Somebody's telling me there. Maybe they put a message in my ear. Let me see. Get me straightened out here, Coach. Where was it we read yesterday? Oh, hey, yeah, it was. Thanks, Dale. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. See, this again, remember when you read the scripture, it's not written in chapters, right? It's not written in chapters. So I jump to 2 Corinthians 3, although I really want to go to 4. Wow, it's so good. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse, Jared, shame on me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So we did 2 yesterday. Isn't that, is that where we were? Yeah. Okay. We did 5 yesterday. Thank you. All right. Now it's making sense. Okay. So let's go backwards, right? Let's go backwards. Let's go to 4 today.
We were talking about reconciliation, talking about ambassadorship, which is chapter 5, Coach.
Thank you, Dale. Thank you, man. Let's go to 4. Let's go to 4. Let's kind of work in backwards, okay? I think this is important for us to understand who we are and our identity in Christ, because I just cannot believe how many fearful Christians I come across. Fearful Christians. We should be the least fearful people on the planet. When we die, we're with Christ. Now, from what I understand, that's supposed to be a better place and a better life. And Jesus told us that we're not to love our own selves, even to death. And I'm thinking about what we're going to do here at Chappaqua, and we're going to dive in here in a second. I got a lot of stuff to talk about. People won't even give us their logos to put on our website. People won't even shoot out the information to their email lists. What? I mean, listen, you don't have to be in 100% support of it, but why aren't people shooting out and saying, hey, here's something you might want to get involved with? We're not participating in it, but maybe some of you would like to. They won't even do that. I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing. But this is going to be a great event. I'm not sucking on their thumb. I'm not feeling bad. I'm just in wonderment. I used to watch some of our football players and some of the stuff they do on the field. And I would say to our assistant coach, old Norm, wait, what the? What's he thinking? And that's where I am now. What are they thinking? What are you guys thinking? Come on, man. Anyway, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Wow. What ministry? Well, I'm not going to go back and go to 3 because 3 is better than 4, but just as good. I have this ministry. You have this ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I could go home right there. I am home. How many of you are fainting? But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Remember, the Old Testament's all they had, the word of God. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. God, we're so ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. In whom, watch this, But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, not just the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we hide the gospel and it's hidden from those whose minds have been blinded. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Jesus didn't die to serve you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this Holy Spirit inside us. That the excellency of that power, wow, may be of God and not of us. Coach, you're going to go to Chappaqua? Well, yeah, well, you can't do anything about it. That's the Clintons. You can't mess with the Clintons. And Coach, you go right there, and the FBI is going to get you. And, boy, you're going to – they got 7 ways from Sunday to get you. Coach, you're going to – no. You got it backwards. We got the power. They don't have the power. We got the power. And the only reason they have the power is because we've yielded it to them. Yeah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And yes, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest inside of me and inside of you. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus. Oh, my goodness. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or obvious in our mortal flesh. And if you're afraid to die, you don't have the Lord in you. So then, death worketh in us, the life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. I believed it and I said it. We also believe, and by golly, we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. I got on my Hillary for a prison shirt today. Why? Because my inward man, I was tired when I went to bed last night, and my inward man is renewed when I get up this morning. For our light affliction, whatever it's gone through, whatever it is, your light affliction is only for a moment. It's just for a moment, boys and girls. Mike's Heath sucked on his thumb for 14 years, and it's only supposed to be for a moment. And it worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. Daggone. So we look not at things that you can see. Got a lot of naysayers think they see what's going on in Chappaqua. Oh, they all know what's going on. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. I say, listen, dude, you better go get some new glasses. For I look not at those things which can be seen, but I look at things which cannot be seen. Because God's getting ready to do something beyond what we can even understand, because we're the tip of the spear. For the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. You're looking at the FBI and the Secret Service and the Hillary's, and this is going to go wrong and this is going to wrong. See, those are temporal. You're looking at it with fleshly eyes. You ain't supposed to do that, boys. You ain't supposed to do that. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Whew. Bathe in that a while. Bathe on that one a while. Okay.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
God help us, man. God help us to arise. God help us to arise. Carolyn Davis is still alive. Is that amazing? I did a video on yesterday real quick when I talked to Chris Keys. God bless Chris Keys. I went to jail with Chris Keys trying to rescue Terry Schiavo. Chris Keys, listen to this story. Chris Keys and his then, I think it was 14-year-old son. I can't remember. Maybe it was 12-year-old son. They got arrested with me when we tried to take water to Terry Schiavo back in 2004. And Chris Keys was the driving force behind Carolyn Davis still being alive. And when they moved Carolyn, by the way, they moved Carolyn Davis, and they did a middle of the night rescue. A ambulance came, picked up Carolyn Davis, whisked her out of there, got her to a retirement home, a senior home. They pumped her back to life, did dialysis, and now they've put her, she's in another hospital. You ready for the amazing story? Chris Keys, who was there to rescue Terry Schiavo back in 2004, and his son were both in the room when they rescued Carolyn Davis. Is that amazing? That 14-year-old boy who's now like 28 or 29, 30 or something like that, he's there with his father as she gets whisked away. What a story, man. What a story.
Chris Keys was also one of the ones on the Mother's Day rescue sitting next to Rusty Thomas, bro. And he was the one that spearheaded rescuing people down in Port Arthur.
God bless Chris Keys. Just God bless him. God bless Chris Keys. I'm going to say this. No, I won't. It's supposed to be a Flea Flicker Friday. You want to say something, Mark?
I was just saying, amen, Coach. I agree.
Amen.
We all got to do what we can, right?
That's right. And that boy does what he can do. We don't have two nickels wrapped together.
Coach, here's a little revelation. What you're talking about when you were saying, you know, we're not here. We're not here that Jesus serves us, but we're here to serve him. John chapter 4, that was the scripture that carried me through doing flood relief. Jesus in John 4:33-34, the disciples came to him and said, Master, eat. And he says, I have meat you know not of.
Amen, brother.
He says, and it is two things, to do the will of him who has sent me. And here's one where Christians treat Christianity like a light switch turning on and off. But Jesus said not only to do the will, but to accomplish it, finish the work, the task that is at hand.
For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far. Do you understand this? Do you understand this? The light affliction, the sacrifices that you're making, boys, this is money in the bank. There's no other way to read this. For our light affliction, which is just lasting for a moment, is putting money far more exceedingly in eternal stuff in your account. It worketh for us a far more exceeding, Trump said, first bank of God. And I rest on this scripture all the time, where I live my life. I look not at things which can be seen, but to things which cannot be seen. For the things which are seen are temporal and, by the way, subject to change. Anything that you can see with your eyes is subject to change. Anything. A field becomes a house. A house becomes a home. A field becomes a parking lot. A tree, I sell my own house, goes from no leaves on it to leaves. Everything you look at is changing. Quit looking at those things that you can see with your eyes, because that takes no faith. For the things which are temporal, but the things which cannot be seen, those are the eternal things, boys. Those are the eternal things. That's why we're going to Chappaqua. It's eternal. It's eternal. And I'm going to tell you this. Our legacy is going to live long after us. That's eternal. That's eternal. I was watching last night. Just bear with me a second. Jared, I don't know. Go to my Facebook page. I don't even know if it's on. I'm going to show you this. If I can find it. I got to find it on my own Facebook. Oh, there it is. Go to my own Facebook, Jared. Scroll down. I don't even know if I post. I think I did, but I don't know if I did. Scroll down. Might be wasting all of our time. I want to show you something. No, go ahead. I'll show you that. There's that. Go ahead. Next one. I think it's down. Next one. Oh, did I not share it? I know I did. No, I didn't. Oh, it doesn't matter. Somebody sent me a video of one of our running backs in 1992, most unbelievable run you'd ever see. And all of a sudden in my life, I was back there. It's back in 1992. I remembered that so vividly. See, we're going to have plenty of time to replay the game films. Plenty of time. What are you going to do, folks? What are you going to do when you're sitting in heaven and they put up your highlight reel? What's on your highlight reel? When you're sitting around that campfire and, boy, here comes Samson, and boom, Samson's, whoo, there goes his highlight reel. And wow, and you're watching all that stuff. You go in there and pulls those pillars down. Oh, my goodness. Then along comes Stephen. He pulls down his highlight film. Watch him being marked. Oh, my goodness. Look at that guy there, Peter. Hey, look at this part. Hey, they got some. Look at Peter here. Watch Peter walk on water. And there's a film. It's eternal, see? It's eternal. And then they're going to say, okay, let's throw Roger Weaver's in there. Let's throw Roger's video in there. Let's throw, because, see, it's as real as real as real as real as real.
Coach?
Everybody's going to be.
Where are the Chris Keys? Where are the Paul Madures? Where's the Mike Heath? Right?
Yep.
Where are they?
Well, they're out there.
They can make. This is an opportunity for everyone to go and make exactly what you're talking about as their own highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right, Matt.
Hey, Coach.
Go out and call for the immediate arrest and indictment of Hillary Diane Rodman Clinton. Okay. We have to do that. We have to tell, and it's not, we're not going there to tell anything to Hillary. That's not what we're going there for. We're going there to tell the DOJ to do their job. We're telling them to come out and make the arrest for the crimes that she's committed.
Amen.
It's going to be your highlight reel by showing up, okay? Because we're going there to stand for equal justice. Isn't that what Christ is telling us?
That's what he's telling us, brother. That's what he's telling us. That's it, man. Make a highlight reel. Come on in, Trump. I'm looking for something here.
Yeah, I just posted Kenneth Hall. I just posted his network. Where are the Kenneth Halls? Well, guess what, Coach? He heard the call. Stephen Menking put Matt in touch with this guy named Kenneth Hall. He's on Patriot Music Network. You go there, he's got a list of patriotic songs. He's been serving. He ain't getting paid. But he's out there with the ability to serve. Now, this is interesting. He's been doing this a long time. You can tell by his quote, his highlight reel. He's been out there serving Jesus, and he's gotten good at it. He wrote a song in what, Matt? 2 days?
A day and a half, Mark.
It's just amazing. So what happens when you practice your gift, folks, is when someone gives out a call and you're well-practiced, God gives you the ability to just do it. And he did it. He just did it. So on our website now, Coach, if we could get Jared to go there, equaljusticetour.com. Yep. Jared has got his song on the main stage now. I mean, this song was done. Look at there. What happened to Justice for All? It's right there on our website.
We're going to play that in a second here, Mark. Mark.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing people out there, Coach.
Now, listen, hey, folks, I want to, Lord, help me here. Help me here.
Can I take that one step further, Coach?
Yeah, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Okay, so not only is Kenneth Hall already written a song, it's not completed yet. However, Kenneth Hall is in Nebraska, people. Guess what Kenneth Hall is doing? Kenneth Hall is coming to Chappaqua. You know why Kenneth Hall wants to come to Chappaqua? Because he wants to sing live. He wants to sing live. And we already have a staging area. We aren't going to release where it is. But Kenneth Hall wants to come to the staging area while we're there for an hour or two and go live with music for everybody. Isn't that something?
This is something, man. Folks, listen.
Okay. There's other people in the background also. It's going to blow people's brains when they see this thing go up. Oh, well, where's the organization? Yeah, well, let me tell you something, okay? We got the best organization on the in the universe. We have the NHA, National Heavenly Administration, not the NSA, okay? We got God, people, okay? Amen. That trumps the Secret Service, and no pun on Trump, right? And that trumps the NSA. That trumps, oh, they're going to watch you. What are you going to do? And then, you know what? We have other stuff, too, that is going to protect everybody on paper, and no one knows anything about it.
We got stuff going on, folks. Listen, this is just the first tour. Go ahead real quickly and play that song that Kenneth, I wish we had the lyrics in front of us so you could follow along. But Kenneth Hall wrote this. It's really good, folks. Really good. Give it a listen.
They walked tall and held the line. They gave the people peace of mind, because they stood for what was right and held a lantern in the night. When it came down to a fight, good guys always won.
Amen.
I know the movies didn't always show the way it really was, but they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be. It's time that we the people stood up to shout, where's that justice for all? Thought Lady Justice was blind, and we're all equal under the law. Thought it didn't matter rich or poor, politician or man at the door, but we still see the traitors demanding. We've all seen it on every station. It's like we have an infestation of ticks and leeches. Bleeding us dry. We elect them to protect our rights, but they spend more time just trying to start fights. Fight and conquer, better think twice. I know the movies didn't always show the way it really was, but they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be. It's time that we the people stood up to shout, that justice for all. Thought Lady Justice was blind, and we're all equal under the law. Thought it didn't matter rich or poor, politician or man at the door, but we still see the traitors demanding.
Man,
always show the way it really was. But they gave us hope that we could be what God intended us to be.
God intended us to be ticks and fleas, ticks and fleas. What a song, man. What a song. So listen, I'm looking at someone, because somebody wanted to say something. Go ahead. Hey, Jared, pull up. I sent it to you. It says Trump's email. I think that's what it says. Did I send that to you? No, it says Matt. It says Matt. No, does that? Yeah, I sent that. I don't know if I sent it to you, Jared. I don't know if I did. Anyway, okay, listen. Those who want to come to my house. Those of you who want to drive, come here. We'll figure out a way to carpool, get everybody there. We're doing the best we can to raise funds. Listen, folks, for this, for me, this is a gospel. This is a gospel trip. This is not a political trip. People say, what, you're raising money to do political? You're not allowed to do that. I'm not doing political stuff. I'm doing righteous stuff. I'm doing gospel stuff. I'm doing stuff the church is supposed to be doing. That's what I'm doing. You have any?
Why don't we do a mass prayer to draw everyone to her house? How about that?
Isn't that what we're doing?
Oh, I mean, well, let's tell everyone. Let's do it. Let's draw everyone to her house, man. Wouldn't that just be powerful?
Well, it would be powerful. That's what we're heading to do, man. That's what we're heading to do. Now, Jared, go to our website real quick. Go to that Equal Justice website. Scroll down there a little bit because the talk. See, I'm sorry, I'm not organized. I got 1,000 emails yesterday, and thank God for Matt trying to help me fix my mower. We were out there yesterday. I was out there FaceTiming with my lot. With my phone, Matt's on FaceTime trying to help me fix my stinking mower, which still isn't working, but we're going to get it down. Download the event flyer real quick, Jared. Here it is. It's all right there. It tells you what all it's all about. It's a call to action. Our great constitutional republic is once again entered an hour when our actions will determine the course of future generations. Do you understand that? We're faced with a clear choice. Either we stand boldly for the restoration of the rule of law, or our inaction will pave the way for the slide into tyranny that has destroyed innumerable lives and dreams across human history. The 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution insists that every American citizen must be treated equally under the law. Brothers and sisters, we have reached this moment because we have seen our Constitution shredded and discarded and trampled upon by those who swore an oath to defend it and uphold it. Restoring equal justice is not a political issue, rich or poor, man or woman. Black or white, big or small, equal justice is for y'all. You've seen and felt this injustice for many years. Time after time, the rights, the rich, powerful, and connected have flagrantly flaunted the laws of our nation, while the rights of the regular Americans have been incontrovertibly infringed. Without equal justice, future belongs only to tyrants. Without equal justice, our children and grandchildren can never hope to be free. Without equal justice, the American dream will be buried gleefully by those who have longed endlessly and worked tirelessly to destroy the fabric of our society. We do not accept that future. Our eyes have, we will not look upon things which can be seen. We're going to look upon things which cannot be seen. We will not accept that future. We will not leave our families that inheritance. We will not allow American freedom to die on our watch. Join us in Chappaqua. This is easy. And then there's information about how to do it. And we got a lot of good stuff. I want to shift gears. I don't want to talk about it. I do want to talk about it, but I don't want to. Some of you right now are bored because you can't come or whatever. And so, God, move on. All right. We get it already, coach. We get it already. No, you don't. No, if you're one of those people, you don't get it already. This ain't Entertainment Central. It's a war room. I'm in a war room. Anybody got something to say? I'll move on.
Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to read a scripture, and this is so on target. It's when Jehu's going to get Jezebel.
Yeah, go get him, Jehu.
It's 2 Kings 9:22.
Get that up there, Jared. Hey, Randy, hang on right where you are. Folks, if you cannot see what we're embarking upon is a spiritual journey, I don't know what to tell you. Go ahead, Randy.
Okay, Coach. This, if you study the definition of justice, just it means a lot of things, but one of them is it's right action. It's conformity to truth. It's a concern for genuine respect for people and peace. Now, look at this verse 22. Is it up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it came to pass when, Joram saw Jehu, that he said, hey, Jehu, is it peace, Jehu?
Yeah, put justice in there for peace, Coach.
Is it justice?
Look at this, Coach. Look at this. This is God's all over this thing. Mm. Read it, Coach.
And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it justice, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? What justice? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many, how can there be peace? How can there be justice? And Joram turned his hands and fled. And he said to Ahaziah, there is treachery, brother. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength. And he smote Jehoram between his arms. And the arrow went out at his heart. And he sunk down into his chariot. Wow. Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, take up. He cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab, his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. What justice, man. Surely I've seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his son, says the Lord. And I will requite thee in this plot, saith the Lord. Now therefore take and cast him in the plot of ground according to the word of the Lord.
That plot of ground was unjustly taken by Jezebel and Ahab. They stole that land from Naboth, and they killed Naboth and his whole family.
Yep.
And they were innocent people.
Yep.
And God said, the innocent blood has cried out. I'm going to get justice for this family. God, that's what God's doing, Coach. This is a picture of what's happening right now in real time.
It is, brother. It is. I'm sorry you can't. I'm sorry, you can't all see it. I can't.
Coach?
Yeah.
Can we add Ephesians 6? Can we go all the way to Ephesians 6:10 now?
Sure.
Right? And then piggyback Ephesians 6:10 off of what just came out of that right there.
Yeah, well, here's the problem, Matt. Here's why we're having trouble. Some people still think it's political. So that people don't understand the spiritual. They do not understand the spiritual. They think Hillary Clinton is just an evil Democrat. That's all. They don't understand it. They don't understand the spiritual significance. Why did Jehu go do that? Slaughter. Why did he go shoot an arrow through the guy? Why? Well, he was just a man, wasn't he? Yeah, but he was a man with a wicked, devious plan. Now, hey, Kyle at Right Wing Watch. This is figurative, brother. We're not going to go and kill anybody at Chappaqua. We'll tell you, hey, Kyle, you write that, and I'm suing you. You hear me? I'm giving you fair warning right now, Kyle. If you write that we are inciting violence, I'm recording this right now because I'm going to sue you and Right Wing Watch for everything you have. Now, brother, I'm going to be checking. Okay? I'm going to be checking.
Don't forget, Kyle, you can come up and have coffee with Doug. He invited you. Come and have coffee. Sit down and hear truth, Kyle.
Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against the Democrats and the Republicans. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places that is destroying the natural world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. We're in that evil day, boys. And having done all that you could do, you're going to go stand. And you're going to stand with your loins girt about with truth. You have on the breastplate of righteousness. You're going to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. You don't shod your feet with the gospel of peace, boys and girls, because there can be no peace where there is no peace. But you shod your feet with the preparation, because peace will follow justice. You shod your feet, you're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterances may be given unto me, that when I get to chapel, I'm going to open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I and you are an ambassador in bonds. Therefore, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Amen.
Take the dust off your shields. Take the dust off your shields. It's all polished and shiny. It's time to put it on and use it. It's time for your armor to protect you, to stand against injustice, to stand against wickedness in high places, isn't it? It's time to put it on and go.
It is, brother. Mark Trump just put into the chat here, coward standing behind Soros and Jezebel. That's what it is, man. That's what it is. We're going to have to, hey, listen, pull this up. Pull this up for me real quick, Jared. Somebody tried to come in. Pour up Vortex. Good Catholics, Jared. Pull that up for me.
Coach.
And your quivers are full of spiritual arrows ready to do the Lord's work.
That's right, brother. Well, they should be, right? They should be. If we trained our children right, they'd be willing to. And that just shows how messed up we are, that most of our kids don't want anything to do. So just telling the truth, most of our children don't want anything to do with the things of the Lord. Why? Because they've been bastardized in church and in Sunday school. They've been given a different gospel. Our forefathers wouldn't even recognize this nation. Now, I'm going to play this video. Mike Heath sent me this video. Some of you don't know of the Vortex. My brain just went dead.
Michael Voris.
Thank you, Michael Voris. So my brain went dead. And we'll say this. This is going to make some of you mad, and I don't care. I made the point of it yesterday. I don't agree with the Catholics and their doctrine. I don't believe in praying to Mary. I don't believe in praying the rosary. I don't believe in following the Pope, especially the fake Pope. I don't believe in worshiping statues and saints. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. But I also don't believe the prosperity gospel. I don't believe the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. I don't believe that one either. And we who are in this fight, we're quick to criticize our Catholics for praying for Mary, but we're not quick to criticize our brother evangelicals who are praying for money. That's a mic drop right there, boys.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen, coach. Amen.
And I know this. I know that when I go to the abortion clinic, there's always some faithful men of God standing there saying the rosary. I don't say the rosary with them. There's a spot in the Bible where the disciples come to Jesus and they said, Jesus, these guys over here are healing people. And they're not even one of us. You guys know that scripture? You know that story? Disciples thought that they were the only righteous ones. He said, they're over there. Well, they're casting out devils and healing people. They're not even with us. What Jesus say? Oh, go stop them. Hey, go stop them. I'm the one that does the healing. You stop them. No, he said, listen, stop them. Cool, boys. Those who are not against us, they're for us. Check it. And I go to the clinics, and these faithful Catholics are out there saying the rosary, and I walk up and down there and I say, God, why are they doing that? What a praying to Mary. What a waste of time. Then I realized that most of my evangelic fish brothers aren't there because they're out there striving and worshiping money, and worshiping their kids. and worshiping all kinds of stuff other than the Lord. And they're faithful to everything except Christ. And I look at these Catholic brothers that I think are crazy saying this rosary. And they're standing there delivering, trying to rescue babies. You say, well, Coach, that's because it's a works gospel. Really? Really? Maybe you ought to get one. Maybe you ought to get a works gospel. I'm called to good works. I show people my faith by my works. Works matter. Works not a salvation issue. But that faithful old brother out down there at Louisville told me he's there every morning. Every morning. Retired guy, Catholic man, every morning. Praying his rosary beads and counting everybody that comes in there. So I want to make you aware of something that's going on. Some of you are aware of it, some of you aren't.
Coach, can I jump in for just a second? Compliment what you're saying.
Yeah.
Another thing we share in common with Catholics, Americans, and the Roman Catholic Church is we're, in a sense, fighting the same institutional crisis.
Yes.
And that's becoming more and more evident. And that is that within the white collar world, the so-called professional class in the West, lawyers and accountants dictate all actions. And that's how you explain why our affiliate page is empty. Churches are talking to their churches, businesses, whatever. They're talking to their attorneys, and their attorneys are telling them, are talking to their accountants, and they're looking at the rules that have been written to favor Soros. The only way you can do anything political that's organized in the West now is if you have a buttload of money. You have to have a ton of money in order to, otherwise you've got to risk your future. You got to risk the, and so what we share with the Catholics is there's a, among the laity, what Americans share with the Roman Catholic Church is the American people are rising up. The laity within the Catholic Church is rising up against the hierarchy.
Just like we are.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Remember the old saying we used to say, somebody would say something that was obvious and your answer would be, oh yeah, is the Pope Catholic? Well, that's a question today, isn't it? Is the Pope Catholic? So this is Michael Voris made this video. He does this all the time called The Vortex. It's a Catholic website. He's Catholic. He's a proud, unashamed, bold Catholic man. And I just want you to just watch this 4 minutes and 48 seconds and ask who's a greater threat to us, Michael Voris or Joel Osteen? Go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Vortex, where lies and falsehoods are trapped and exposed. I'm Michael Voris. The left is coming for you, giving a modern-day context to the quote misattributed to Marxist Leon Trotsky, "You may not be interested in war, oh, but war is interested in you." Ah, yes, war is always interested in you. The war the left has unleashed on Western civilization through the civilization's institutions. And what exactly is the left using the war to get of yours? Very simple, your soul. Only with the understanding of war, war for your soul, meaning spiritual warfare played out in the daily decisions of a society, does any of the current madness make sense. Men pretending to themselves that they are women, competing in female sports and shattering records, corporations saying they will no longer accept the understanding of a so-called binary world where there are just two sexes, social media giants blowing up the accounts of virtually any person willing to challenge the lunacy of the left. This is all being done to force a new world down everyone's throats. And don't think this isn't coming. It's already about to come to a neighborhood near you. Take, for example, the recent defeat of the religious freedom law in Texas. That law would have protected business owners with publicly stated religious opinions from adverse government action. The proposed law, House Bill 3172, got the nickname the Chick-fil-A Bill because when the fast food company wanted to open some more stores in San Antonio city airports, the city council refused to grant the necessary permits because of the business owner's strongly held and stated opinions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage. The bill was killed, not on its merits, but by parliamentary lobbying tactics by the state's homosexual lobby group, and they celebrated their victory. There was a justified uproar about the case once it became wider known, and Texas lawmakers said it was the perfect example of why the law was necessary, so that governments could not penalize businesses because of their political or moral or religious views. But that understanding of fairness only seems to apply to the left, at least as far as the left is concerned. Could you imagine the wailing and the gnashing of teeth that would be on the left, what would occur on the left if the shoe was on the other foot? And for the record, although you probably could already guess, the Texas Catholic Conference, those stalwart bishops of Texas, the state's bishops, had nothing to say on the matter. Yep, the Catholic Conference, in what seems like it should have been a no-brainer, was completely dumbstruck on the issue of religious freedom. The left is relentless and shameless, and they will not stop until they have either converted you or eradicated you. And if not you, then your children. These are not just political policy type considerations or prudential societal decisions. These are at their very core spiritual matters which determine a person's eternal destiny. This is why all of this, no matter the arena, no matter the matter, must be fully vetted and placed under a microscope, a spiritual microscope. In the end, it's all about spirituality, spiritual truth, meaning whether a soul is saved or damned. Yep, day by day, they are coming for you. And to date, your spiritual fathers have offered little by way of defense, and in frequent cases, they have sold you out owing to their perversions or willful neglect. What Catholics need to come to terms with is that many of the bishops are actually supportive of the Democratic Party's worldview. And since that worldview is diametrically opposed to Christ, well, now you see the disaster which has befallen the church. We need to see and understand all of this. All of us need to understand this and tell our loved ones that the left wants your children and you out of the picture. And given the current rate of success of the left since this plan was rolled out, it would appear around just another 5 years or so until they have almost completely won. Will everyday Catholics step up and save civilization? God love you. I'm Michael Voris.
So the left is the devil, folks. The left is the devil. And the left's only goal is the destruction of Christ and Christianity. It's not political. It's not political. Now, here's me. I'll stand with Michael Voris. Is he an enemy of ours because he happens to pray to Mary? I'll throw it out there. Come on in.
Oh, coach, you can't work with the Catholics. Prove it that you're working with the Catholics. Oh, okay, everybody. Guess what? Matt Suskevich is a full-blown practicing Catholic.
Oh, no!
Oh, coach, you're working with that? Oh, we can't go. You know what, people? Here's the problem, okay? What you just heard that man say is the biggest issue that we have. Catholics, Protestants, Baptists, whatever you are, don't we all believe in one thing?
But Jesus see, here's Christ. The point. Here's
Jesus
the point.
Christ.
I'm not going to say the rosary with you, but I'm going to stand on the street. I'm going to fight with you, right? It's not a melding of religions. It's not ecumenicalism. It is partnering with those who have the same end in sight.
Hey, coach.
Yep. Welcome, Larry. Did we lose you?
You got muted.
Dave,
I've said for decades that I know a whole lot of Christians who attend various denominations and fellowships and things, from maybe Catholic or Presbyterian, this flavor of Baptist, that flavor of Baptist, Church of Christ, the Holiness. I've known a whole lot of Christians that go to all different kinds of denominations and fellowships, but I don't know a single person who identifies themselves first as a denominational member, then as a Christian, because God said, I will have no other gods before me. And you cannot put a denomination in front of God and Jesus Christ. But we have a lot of our true brothers and sisters in Christ that are still out in those organizations and things. And we have to recognize that.
Well, and also recognize that a lot of times the people sitting right beside us in church aren't Christians.
Absolutely.
Come on in, Roger.
No, I was just going to say, I think you first look with how does he handle Jesus? How does he handle the cross? I don't agree. There's much of the Catholic Church I don't agree with, but I think the Lutherans have got some problems too. You know, I'm saying, how does he handle the cross? Then, you know, that's how I look at who you join in with. How has he dealt with Jesus on the cross?
Well, Catholic, help me rescue babies. That's what Jesus said. Those are not against us, are for us, right? I'm making some people nervous. That's all right. It's a good nervous. Somebody else, come on in. Speak now or forever hold your peace, as the word says.
Coach, I tell you what, if I'm in a foxhole and I'm in a battle, I take an old man, old Catholic, who knows how to shoot his gun and how to clean it, how to load it, than some little sissy Gene evangelical with a flower in his hand.
Amen, Dale. Amen. Mark, good point. Mark said whoever points at a man's doctrine is not pointing at Jesus. Amen. Come on in.
Coach, the most courageous man I worked with for the past 30 years is Paul Madore. He was mentioned earlier.
He's coming, by the way. He's coming.
He's coming to New York. 9 kids, 36 grandkids. That's a mic drop.
What? He has 9 kids and 36 grandkids.
Homeschooled them. Homeschooled all 9. Didn't lose one of them to drugs. And stood by him. I didn't have one evangelical man or woman who stood closer to me when the fire was hottest, the political fire was hottest, than Paul Madore. Yeah. And I was the leader of the evangelical, you know, thing in Maine fighting against homosexuality for two decades. So I got to know this man's character over 2 decades.
Amen.
And amen. So should we?
Wait a second. You mean we're supposed to judge people an individual at a time and not by the group that they're a part of?
Amen. Amen.
I think we all need to listen to this a little bit and think about that.
Amen.
And bifurcate political efforts from spiritual efforts. Because I was going to throw on the table, which I usually don't on the public hour, what about the Mormons? They're one of the most moral and virtuous groups as a whole in the country today. So can you treat them as an ally in these types of efforts as you do the Catholics?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not going to go to the Mormon church and worship their God. But if I'm out in the street trying to rescue a baby, I'm with them. They're fighting for traditional marriage. Those are enough against us or for us. Jesus himself said that. Let me equip you here real quick. Jared, go to No Need to Abort. Yes, Vic.
There's no atheist in foxholes.
That's right. No Catholics, no Mormons, nothing in foxholes, brother. Listen, folks, I want to equip you here. I'm sorry, I'm running short on time. This is a conversation with a former abortionist. It's done by Lila Rose. There, folks, quit believing the lie. There's never, ever, ever, ever a reason to abort to save a life. Go ahead, Jared, play this.
One of the biggest arguments of pro-abortion activists is that abortion is medically necessary. What's your position on that?
We hear all the time how abortion, including especially late-term abortion, is necessary to save women's lives. Nothing could be further from the truth. I spent 9 years working at a tertiary medical center. I mean, there are only certain hospitals in the country that are designated to take care of the really, really high-risk pregnancies. You don't want to duplicate the effort. It's expensive. So these hospitals get referrals from the surrounding area. And Albany Medical Center in Albany, New York, where I worked, was one of them. I was faculty at the hospital for 9 years. And I saw hundreds of cases of really severe pregnancy complications, cancers, heart disease, intractable diabetes out of control, toxemia of pregnancy out of control. And I saved, in those 9 years, I saved hundreds of women from life-threatening pregnancies. And I did that by delivering them, by ending their pregnancy by delivery, either induction of labor or cesarean section.
Delivering the baby.
Delivering the baby. And I always tell people, in all of those years, the number of babies that I had to, that I was obligated to deliberately kill in the process was zero, none. And I'll give you an example. The key point about late-term abortion that so many people miss is that it takes days to prepare the cervix. This is not a natural situation by any stretch. If you're going to dilate a cervix sufficiently, that starts off essentially as a pinpoint, large enough to dismember or tear apart a baby this big, that cervix has to be dilated, and that can take anywhere from 24 to 72 hours. And especially when you're talking about later term pregnancies. Most life-threatening situations, the vast, vast majority of life-threatening situations in pregnancy are not going to arise until 24, 25, 26 weeks of pregnancy and higher. And when you're talking about that, you're talking about abortion procedures that take 2 and 3 days to prepare the cervix. And I'll give you a classic example. This is a real case. A lady came to the hospital at 27 weeks of pregnancy with severe toxemia. Her blood pressure, you know, a normal blood pressure is about 120 over 80. Her blood pressure was 220 over 160. Okay, this lady would literally be minutes or hours away from a stroke. What do you do in a situation like that? We stabilized her, brought her back, did a cesarean section, had her delivered within an hour of arriving at the hospital. She and her baby did just fine.
Amazing.
Now, let's say we wanted to use abortion to save her life, okay? If with that kind of blood pressure and that kind of problem, if we waited 2 to 3 days to get her cervix prepared, she would never make it. She would have been dead. And that's a perfect example. You never need late-term abortion to save a woman's life. If necessary, you accomplish the delivery. Now, did every one of those children make it because they were preterm? No. But they all had a...
You can stop it right there. So there's another one of the big lies, right? Big lies. Health of the mother, right? That's in every one of the abortion bills they want. Health and life of the mother. And it's so obvious, isn't it? You do a cesarean section, you deliver the baby, and then you take care of whatever condition it is that the woman has. We have been lied to in so many different ways. And unfortunately, again, we're not educated to be able to push back against these liars and these forces of darkness. Got a couple somebody help
me. They always want to placate on that moral thought where 99.9% of all abortions are all out of convenience, and it has nothing to do with rape, nothing to do with incest, and nothing have to do, which is the ectopic pregnancy. It has nothing to do with the health of the mother.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, go to equaljusticetour.com. We have a petition there. Please sign the petition. And we also have a prayer wall. Jared, click on that prayer wall for us. You can go to the prayer wall, folks, and just write a prayer. Just populate the website with a prayer. Go in there and put one on there. And we want to show that even those who we hear from people who want to get involved, they can't get involved. We say, go to the prayer wall. Put a prayer on there. Join in. Sign the petition. Go to the prayer wall. Folks, do me a favor. Share, 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 share. We are going to go to Chappaqua, New York, because the Spirit of the Lord has called us there. We are His representative of justice. The Lord demands justice, and we want equal justice under the law. If you can't come, donate, help us. I told you we're trying to rent some cars. We've got expenses, putting guys up in hotels. If you can't go, please help us through donations. This is Brother Jehu, our Jehu moment. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning.